Blog Talk Radio.
Would you like to learn something new and exciting? Have you always had an interest in a subject but didn't want to spend a fortune going back to school? The Chicago Learning Center is the place for you. Learn about real estate, the stock market. Learn to be a voiceover artist. If you like to dance, there are classes on salsa and merengue. Interested in preparing a meal for your family? If so, CLC has cooking and baking classes. Want to know the ins and outs of being a handyman? Yep. Uh-huh. CLC has that, too, and much more. The Chicago Learning Center. Take a class. Relax. Treat yourself. No grades. No tests. Just fun. The Chicago Learning Center. 773-891-1999. That's the Chicago Learning Center. Call today. 773-891-1999.
Back from the Grammys, the NAACP Image Awards, the Oscars, and Fashion Week, Lady Ease is here to shape your curves and comfort. The My New Shapewear Collection is designed especially for women of color. Embrace your curves and look shapely and smooth in everything that you wear, from capris to work attire to that red carpet gown. Visit MyNudes.com to choose your style and your color. You'll find My New Shapewear in Honolulu, Los Angeles, New York, and online at MyNudes.com. Brown beauties, your best shape is yet to come at MyNudes.com.
Hello, this is Diana Long. Here we are on the radio again. We're talking about art and social justice issues because it's Wednesday. Today, we're going to be talking with Paul Ramey about art and activism. Paul, are you on the line yet?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
Hey, Diane. I'm doing fine. How are you doing? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, yeah. So I thought maybe for the listeners who are not familiar with you that you could introduce yourself a bit. Tell us a bit about yourself, where you're from and how you grew up and what you're doing now.
Well, my name is Paul Ramey. I grew up in the North Lawndale neighborhood, and I've actually transitioned into broader aspects of the communities, as such as the Rogers Park neighborhood, other neighborhoods in Chicago, Hyde Park where I work, or Skokie, or also where I work, and some of the South Side areas as well. So I have a little bit of versatility in me from growing up in North Lawndale. Went to school, graduated. Now I just focus on teaching swim lessons to kids and at the Jewish Community Centers of Chicago. And that's going great. I've also contributed my piece of art into the certain neighborhoods as well. I have visual display. I remember one time I was at the Urban Art Retreat Center with a portrait of a collage that I took of a peace walk. I just had a show Sunday at the Elbow Room. It went great.
Mm-hmm.
Sold a lot of tickets. Yeah. Had some good people coming to see me, supporting me, and it was great. Went well.
Terrific. So you've lived in a few neighborhoods now in Chicago.
Yes, I've always was attracted to Chicago because growing up in North Lawndale, there's sometimes nothing to do, even sometimes now. So I always ventured off downtown or north side, see the lake up north. So I was fascinated by Chicago in itself.
Yeah, I often wish that more of the people here in the North Lawndale neighborhood would get out to other neighborhoods more.
It definitely sounds good to me.
Yeah. In fact, I find that Chicago is a neighborhood where people sort of stay in their, or Chicago is a city where the people in various neighborhoods tend to stay in their neighborhoods, and so they really don't know what other neighborhoods are like, and they tend to stereotype neighborhoods.
Yes, it definitely is. Chicago is definitely one of the most quote unquote segregated cities in America. We have neighborhoods that are poor and hungry, and another neighborhood is rich and happy, or rich and successful. It's more not about the neighborhoods with me anymore, because just seeing it happen, you know, just brings some sort of passion inside of me to create my own neighborhood and where I'm from, like with people though.
Yeah.
Different types of people.
Do you think people are really that different from neighborhood to neighborhood? What do you think about that?
Neighborhood to neighborhood, people are the same. I think a lot of it is safety issues or stigmas about certain people. And sometimes it's just ignorance. But just learning to deal with, or just learning to walk to the beat of your own drum, helped me out a lot, especially as far as like using art to progress or using music to inspire, or to teach, or to just use any form of expression as a way to get out of the negativity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excuse me. I'm thinking that for some reason, some people are able to get themselves out of something, and other people in the same situation are not.
Yes, I'm aware.
And climb out of a hole, and other people find themselves unable to climb out of the same hole. Some people see the bright light, and other people don't notice it. Some people see an opportunity, and they say, "Yay, where can I sign up?" And other people don't see that opportunity, or don't think it's for them, or don't take advantage of it, or don't notice it, or don't think they can obtain it, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, people respond to stimuli in different ways.
True.
Which, you know, kind of makes me think about something I wanted to talk about today, which is how can visual artists contribute to bringing awareness to social justice issues? So a lot of times we want to do something to contribute in a positive way. People want to be a part of things. They want to be a part of the solution. How can visual artists contribute to bringing awareness to social justice issues that are important to them?
So,
any thoughts on this?
So, as far as I've known, artists have always contributed to social justice issues. Musicians, dancers, poets. Specifically, the presence of an artist in the community is a benefit to that community. So an artist may have a viewpoint of his or her community and choose to use art as a stepping stone through social challenges in his or her community, such as a lot of artists have been inspired by, you know, going downhill or going through a crisis, or and that creates energy. So an artist is always one of the most trustworthy leaders you can possibly have in any community, because the artist is just not going to judge you or not tear you down. He's not going to oppress you. The artist is not going to sabotage you. The artist is really actually helping out just by creating, you know, some artists have actually created communities by themselves or with other artists, or just started groups or nonprofits or anything to tackle, because there's a lot of social justice issues. It's a lot of them. You can't always name the millions of them. It happens all the time. But because of the social injustices, honestly, art has thrived through social injustice.
Yeah. You're an artist. How do you do this? How do you contribute? How do you bring awareness to a social justice issue? Is there, for instance, is there an issue right now that concerns you, and how do you feel you can bring awareness to the issue that concerns you, thinking about it right now?
Well, being an artist, you always find yourself in the spotlight in the restorative justice process or social injustice process. You always find yourself in the spotlight in that field because of how that injustice made you feel. So the issues of injustice is a part of every community, right? You know, you got drugs, violence, guns. Me personally, I like to come together with other artists and create something. So a lot of times I meet different artists with different stories, and they all have, and they're all worthy of listening to. I participate and apply myself, or just sit back in. Sometimes when it's dark, it's best to just listen in that darkness and just learn. Maybe that's a time for learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tend to be an organizer. I know a lot of artists don't care for that, but I tend to have the type of personality that likes to organize. So, for instance, right now I'm organizing an art show for women who make art about women's rights. And so we're going to be, as a group, showing our art about women's rights, both in the past, how we have fought so hard for the rights that we have won, and also currently what we're fighting for globally. So not just in this country, but around the world. And as a way of bringing awareness to the situation of women's rights, because it seems like sort of like 6 feet forward, 2 feet back, 6 feet forward, 2 feet back, you know, some amount of gain and then some amount of loss. To me, it seems crazy in this day and age that some of the rights that women have fought for so hard and thinking that we've won now are being continually questioned, and in some facets of the population trying to be torn down again. And so as an artist, particularly an artist with no money, I guess one way I can bring awareness to that is by organizing an art show about what are those rights, what rights have we worked so hard to obtain, and what are we working on right now still or in addition to. And also to see around the world what rights women are working on. Sometimes there are things that they're working on in other countries that we've already accomplished here in the United States, but then we find that we're again working for. And so to compare those rights that we're working on here, that we're working on in other countries, that some women think they're just starting to work on, and then they see that we gained those rights, but now we're having to defend them again. So it's kind of bringing an awareness and a support to each other as we fight for those rights or defend the rights that we have from being toppled. It's kind of similar to what you said, sort of sharing, illuminating, learning from, those kinds of things.
Yes.
I guess that's one thing we can do. I want to go to a commercial break, but when we come back, I'm hoping that we can talk a little bit about restorative justice and what that process is and how can visual artists be involved in the restorative justice process. Let's go to commercial and we'll be right back. Thank you so much.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Listen to Tracy E. Lewis on Fridays at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time for the inside story on real estate investment. Coming up on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. is Diana Long with Art and Social Justice Issues. On Tuesdays at 9 a.m., listen to Akeem Ugal with News for the Passive Real Estate Investor. Listen to CBBM Business Journals Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. and listen to The Tough Questions noon with host Sonia Cassandra Perdue. Visit us at Chicago's, that's Chicago with an S, Chicago's Black Business Radio Network.com. To be a sponsor, give us a call at 773-609-2226. To sponsor an upcoming episode, call us at 773-609-2226. Thank you.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Let me tell you about the Peace Parks of North London project. We are creating a peace park from a vacant lot, one part of the park at a time, one weekend at a time. We are volunteers wanting to make a difference. The park will be for the people of Chicago, especially the residents of North London. Would you like to help? Please RSVP for the date and time. You can help by leaving a message on 773-542-9126 or send email to contact@urbanartretreat.com. We work each Saturday and Sunday from noon to 4. Please join us weekends from noon to 4.
Hi, everybody. This is Diana Long with Art, Activism, Social Justice on the radio blog. I've got with me today Paul Ramey, and we're talking about art and activism. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Diana.
So we're after the break, and one of the things that we've been trying now for, gee, I don't know, some people who are very creative a long time ago, probably 20 years ago, but most people probably in the last 10 years or so, have been turning to restorative justice as a way to work with youth and adults who have committed some crimes in their neighborhood. And sometimes have set up a process through organizations in the neighborhood where the individual who's committed an offense makes up for their offense, possibly by paying for whatever they broke or stole, and possibly by apologizing to the individual they wronged or the business they did something wrong to. They may work off some amount of damage they did, or decide on how many hours they owe to make up for something wrong they did. Anyways, there may be some process. You did this, well, this is what I need from you in order to make up for it. So it might be some community service hours, it might be a program they go to, it might be some words, it could be a combination of things. I know that a while back I was involved in a restorative justice program where I provided an art program for young people who had done something wrong and were trying to make up for their offense. And I really enjoyed the program a lot. And it was mostly all boys, about 9 years old to about 21. And they didn't necessarily come in with an inclination to art, but we provided an art program for them to express how they felt about what they were going through, who they were. I just feel like a lot of people don't have enough opportunity to express themselves and be who they are and be heard, and often turn to negative behaviors because of that. So there can be many components involved in the restorative justice process, and a lot of times they're started in a grassroots way because the justice system can be so punitive and can leave such a negative mark and scars on people. Have you had any experience or knowledge of the restorative justice process, Paul?
Yes, actually, restorative justice, as far as a broader definition from actually, is everything I've done in my life was for a reason. So restore, it was for reconstructing or restoring, like, even the environment. That's what I meant by broader. I'm sorry for not explaining. Broader, the definition, restorative justice, is pretty much explains a lot. So I've actually worked with organizations and nonprofits myself since 2010 on human rights or Greenpeace, you know, and Illinois PIRG, Environment Illinois. Just those were a few nonprofits that actually I learned a lot from my team, my coworkers, my leaders, and in the week. A lot of things happened during those times that people wouldn't have known about. So me being informed, I can share that information and pass it on, and then engage in a conversation with a stranger, honestly, and have them have a point, make them feel like their point clear and concise, and make them feel engaged in the process. So I haven't seen anything greater than face-to-face grassroots in the restorative process such as yourself, Diana. And it works as far as grassroots, because you're getting yourself out there to the people, and the people don't know anything that needs support unless you tell them, because you know about it.
For instance,
such as me coming back to North Lawndale, working with Urban Art Retreat Center,
mm-hmm.
and yourself, and it's been a restorative process itself, because we've actually engaged in the community with no matter what age group there was or what creed, nation, color, or sex, or any form of identity. We never really strayed away from anyone, and that's the main thing. The passion comes from the engagements. The passion is created, and you have a restorative justice system that has been for so long because we keep engaging different people, mixed people of different colors, and there's no skin color. We engage anybody, and we choose to say our intentions are important, and that it should matter that, you know, these things are happening, and people don't want them to happen, obviously. And it takes a community to just become aware, to make people aware. You just can't do it alone. I believe in people power and restorative justice. Any injustice needs a restoration. So tackling the issue before, even for me, even tackling issues that could happen are more, what I'm trying to say here is that even tackling the issue on hand, and it hasn't happened yet, but you've been warned, it's good to actually go out and say, hey, this could happen if we don't do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know one of the ways that people can use their community service hours is help us with the Peace Parks of North Lawndale and improving our neighborhood. And that one of the goals of the Peace Parks of North Lawndale is to help people learn about Black history, and it's intended to help people of all colors learn. I don't want to run out of time, and that's why I bring it up. So I wanted to touch on this before we ended our conversation today. I wonder, from your perspective, how can learning about Black history help people of all colors? Do you have an opinion on that? Do you think you could expound upon that a little bit? Because I know that that's a large part of the mission of the Peace Parks of North Lawndale. It's going to provide a lot of opportunity for people to learn about Black heroes. So how can learning about the Black history, the heroes that have gone on in the history of Black people, how can that help people of all different colors?
Well, there's always opportunities. People, the need to define African American or Black originated from people who weren't even Black.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so people who relate Black as a color, they ain't going to accept Black. And I've always believed that there's only one race, the human race. So
okay.
there's a diversity of Black people who claim Black as their identity. Yet Black isn't always about just being Black sometimes. And that's a lot of times it's we think of political, you know, things to say or political or something that's way off the horizon. African-American history was a fact. It happened. It still does. It doesn't stop. And you learn that as you get older, growing up, and, you know, and Black history isn't just a month. It's every day. And I've seen some people I work with who cared way more than other people that should care more. And I think everybody should care. It's not that I think that African-American history is just for African-Americans or just because you're Black or half Irish doesn't make you, you know, what they say you are, you know. There's negative people out there, and there's positive people out there. A lot of times when you speak of African-American history, art itself is African-American history. How many murals have you seen created by an artist of Martin Luther King or Malcolm X? Even artists like Langston Hughes and Nina Simone, Ezra Jack Keats were big influences on a lot of communities that aren't all the time Black, aren't always going to be Black. I just really, really believe in that people coming together is the best option to continue this with the injustices and help the solution. I think people power is one of the greatest things in the world, and not necessarily Black power or white power or any power, Axis power, Nazi power, whatever power is not about. I don't think color really matters as far as like how African-American history plays a part in a community, because people that created that African-American piece of history or wrote about it weren't, the guy that interviewed Malcolm X for his book was Caucasian.
Okay, so we're going to leave it at people power then. So we're at the
people
end
power.
Of our time, Paul. And
okay,
we're going to have to leave it at Paul says people power matters, all right?
Thank you.
Paul. Thank you so much for your time today. We've run out of time.
I
hope to speak with you again.
Glad I was a part. Thank you, Diana.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
People
everybody,
power.
Thanks for listening with us today, and we'll see you next week. Go out and do something. Be artistic. Be active. Think about things. Bye for now.